call the County Negotiating Committee for the Downtown Economic Development Initiative to order. And we're joined by Glenn Hardaway and John Steinbeck and Ms. Manager, you have any
Just so you know that Chris is not going to be here for this meeting. She will be here tonight, but she went to Notre Dame football game. And then Gordon Sutherland is at the peer review meeting. So we sent him to represent the town at that meeting, and so that's why those two staff are going here. But we have provided the proposal and the information to John and Glenn both, and so I think the purpose we decided of this meeting was to try to put it all together so the committee could decide what the position was.
Okay. Just as a, if we come to some consensus of the committee tonight, the intent would be to go into closed session again in the council meeting and bring it to the council, and then if we were to move ahead from that discussion, we would be on track to have the public forum on the 13th of November. And I imagine we'd be in a position to release the deal tomorrow so that we can have as much time as possible for folks in town to see what we're thinking.
We've advertised a public forum, but if you've seen those ads, they're very broad.
Right. And then I was just talking to Kevin briefly before the meeting. It seems like that there are negotiating points or details that we would want to bring out as committee members or council members, or as a result of the public forum. We would, I guess, talk to RAM after the public forum to try to craft a deal that would address those points.
And that would be all right. But would you need to go back to the public forum process if
you're thinking about it? No, I mean,
it would be responding to issues
that were raised in public forum, right?
Well, that's the good news, I guess. Roger, do you have any advice as to which of our consultants should go first?
I know John has done some a lot of thought about the deal, so maybe he can go first and Glenn. Add his comments after that, so that works.
Great. Yeah, or I'll just interrupt John.
Okay.
I
was talking to Roger a few minutes ago, and I could literally write up a memo saying why you shouldn't do this deal. I could also write a memo saying why you should go forward. Whether you look at the glass half full or half empty. There is a hell of a swing because of the 30% increase in construction costs and the increase in interest rate. It's almost $25 million. So in that regard, I guess bottom line, and I've got a lot of detailed things to say, but I recommend that we obtain clarification from RAM on certain points and add a couple of deal points, and I can vote for it. It's a long way from where we were a year and a half ago. But the price we paid for not delaying, but taking as long as we have, is just increasing construction costs, and there's no getting around it. It's a fact. It's the way it is. I have come up with a solution that I think would hopefully be very attractive to you, and that is, besides the deal points, some of the deal points, a major deal point would be that any cost less than $70 million somehow comes back to us, either on a proportional basis or all of it. Because I think some of the costs are, I'll use the word inflated, I'm not sure that's fair, but I'm concerned about some of the costs, especially the parking costs. Just to give you a sense of the impact of some of these numbers, I calculated the return on cost for RAM Did you need the contingency for now in the budget? Your return on cost is 25%. So what I'm trying to get is some sort of safeguard or way for us to sit down to get back some of the investments if the cost is enough.
Just to correct, it goes up 25%, it doesn't go up to 25%.
That's right.
I understand. I spend regular when Casey last met with us, and I was the only one here, so I wanted to say this, but he took the position that if you don't participate, you can either be an equity partner or not, but if you expect me to take all of the downside risk, then why should you be able to the upside risk? I mean, maybe the upside is just things pan out. And so his response to our sort of probing on that a little bit was, I'm putting some money, but I need to pad the numbers because I'm taking all the risk. So I just want to make sure everyone understands that. I heard that, and we're going to hear it again. So
then let's structure so that if there's any reduction in cost on the town's investment or budget for town projects than the ones
it came up specifically in the context of the cost of the parking,
yeah.
Which, who knows what that ultimately going to be, but it does sort of occur to us, well, why should we pay $45,000 in space if it only costs
$35,000? Well, if you take for it the way that you cut your paying for it, you get 72 to 90.
Well, whatever. Whatever number they came up with that.
If we're going to make a point about this, the point would be that it'd be on the town element.
And that seems
something you should swallow.
Do you think so?
And you might approach it on a sharing of the cost savings as opposed to saying we want it all.
Right. Putting it
right
then.
Right. So that there's an incentive in place.
Now what's the structure of their contractual relationship with the builder? I mean, is it a design build or they put it at the bid?
Kay was talking today in the part that they're anticipating leasing or selling to us, they actually have to follow the same process we would follow, which is put out the bid, have to have a minimum number of bids.
And that includes the parking?
That would be only the
parking. Okay, so then why not in other words, we will actually know what that costs.
I spoke with Bob Jessup today, and he said this is something where we are going to be something that we're financing with public money, so we have to follow the financing rules for bidding procedures.
Because the only way we'd ever be able to come up with the money would be to borrow. That's what drives the rules.
That's correct. It's the borrowing. If we're not borrowing,
she doesn't know this. He's not anticipating this. Putting it out to three different bidders to get that part of this job built. No, and if he doesn't, then his whole argument against what you're saying is twofold. It's what you just said, and it's identifying these numbers. Because she says that after a certain point, it costs what it costs. And I mean, they're sort of portrayed that they have a relationship with Skanska, which I suspect is not exactly the case, but I mean that it's just going to be a design build and it's going to roll into a contract, so they'll never really know the cost.
Right, but Ralph, can you address this point? If we were going to be leasing these spaces, why would we just have to go out for bid?
Why not call it in?
I spoke with Ralph on the train today about that.
He and I can have a different opinion on this. He and I haven't talked about this.
It comes down to whether the lease is looked on as some sort of form of debt, right?
It comes down to if they would not be building the building except that we would be paying for it as a lessor, then...
But how do you answer that question?
If we're borrowing for it, certainly there's an issue. If we're paying them on a lease,
The whole point of doing it is that we were around the public debt rules. As far as, and that was the understanding on that.
Why is this an issue? We need to figure out, if we're going to get a deal with them, then we need to figure out how to get them, how to get the numbers right. One of the attractive things about the way it's structured now is we don't have to care about what his numbers are.
No, it's true.
Right. But if we're going to start caring what his numbers are, then,
Well, then this creates a mechanism that supplies those numbers. I find it hard to imagine that Casey's going to want to do that.
He's not going to want to do that.
But it's irrelevant, because we need to get the numbers to come to a deal like this, no matter how we get the numbers. And all that other
stuff. It's being a deal where we participate.
Whether it's public or not.
Right.
Even if it were public, he's still going to sign it for money.
But it seems like the place where the number, where we tend to gain the most is knowing the numbers about the parking. And that's where the numbers are going to be developed this way. And I agree, let them have all the money from everything else. But even a $5,000 per space savings in parking, that's $800,000. So
on our 160 spot, correct?
Yes. And that's all that will be there. And then, and that's a reasonable thing to ask for, it seems to me. And that's where our main costs are, because we're leasing this space. Well, we're going to buy it or whatever. So, I got a feeling, I don't know, I just will be surprised if it holds up.
This gets down to your bond rating and all that stuff. If you look at this proposal, the thing that for me makes the most sense is that Casey agrees to build these 161 spaces, whatever it is. You agree to buy them for a maximum of whatever that $7 million figure is. It'll be what it actually is, but not to exceed the $7 million. It'll be a cap on it. And when he hasn't completed, you buy them right then and there. Either issuing costs, if you feel like you can do that from the standpoint of your credit rating, because that's going to be a cheaper way in the long run than financing it by the lease mechanism he's using it.
Right.
Plus the fact that means waiting. If we're a partner, we're going to put in the money. You know that money's going to be in there. That's $7 million. You don't have to care and look to us. And to me, it just makes it a much, much cleaner deal. If there's a reluctance to issue costs and you're comfortable with his 8%, to have him finance it for you, sell it for him,
it's
7.5% or 8%. But if you can get to 5%, you're better off. If you believe his parsing, his revenue projections on the parking, which I wasn't quite sure, so the difference between existing lot 5 and the new deal. But basically, you're over 600,000 in revenue a year, which will more than support COPS at 5%, and would also support his compensation at 8%. So you've got to go that far.
We've been proceeding with the understanding that we can't see the COPS.
No, that's not correct. We've been proceeding with the assumption that if we do, we would lower our bond rating, which means we would have to borrow money and maybe have to collect a higher rate, but it would still be cheaper than 8%.
Well, let's go back, and my understanding was that we had a coverage ratio that we had to...
Let me share this more than you care to know this. I agree with Glenn. But if you were going to go forward on this, since it's 8% for his money versus 5% for ours, there's no question that 5% is less than 8%. Having said that, we would need to do two things, and there are some costs associated with it. One, we would need to change our policy so that you could run the ratio of debt service payments to other expenditures higher, because the bond rating agency would kill you if your policy is that you break your policy.
Policy that you've adopted.
Internal policy.
Yeah.
Correct. So we would need to reshape our internal policy to allow us to do that. Number two, if we were to go ahead with the $7 million, then we do face an issue of more borrowing because we've got $20 million out there in GO bonds that we plan to issue in the next couple of years. Can we issue all of this and retain our bond rating? Perhaps we can, perhaps we can't. I think we are, there's a good chance we can't. Having said that, are you still better off if this is the deal that you really want to do for the $7 million? Going ahead and paying for this and paying the higher rate on the other borrowings that you plan to do, and do you mind that that's going to limit your capacity to borrow for whatever good idea comes up next week? Because we really are shooting beyond what I would be comfortable, but after discussing it, if that's what we really want to do, of the two choices, that's the wiser choice.
Okay, let's start with the lease under the way I proposed it. Not, I haven't gone back and looked, but I have a feeling that's going to be approved by the LGC. When you're talking about at least of those parking spaces under at that magnitude.
I wouldn't be surprised because that's the reason that the LGC becomes an issue about the lease for what we just said vis-a-vis the bidding. So I would get answers here.
The LGC has traditionally, and not terribly long ago, the first time I ran across it was on a Winston Salem leased a bunch of office space. Mm-hmm. They made me get that approved. So we've got the LGC going to have to look at this anyway. I don't know how the credit rating guys would look at the lease because that payment, that lease obligation, is pretty daggone close to borrowing the money.
It's close.
So it could impact the credit rating anyway.
It could. And if you're just the way the chip was in between,
not quite, but you don't know.
You don't know how much it's rate. I would agree with you.
And we're talking about $210,000 a year difference in the 5 to 8%.
I mean,
$7 million
principal.
Yeah,
that's
a couple
hundred thousand. Well, we'll also
make
this
at least
with any equity in it.
That's right. Yeah. Well, no, but that's what we always said. That's the point we made last time. Right. We wanted to buy it.
Right.
So it's just a question of whether we want a parking lot or a library.
Okay.
I mean,
that's an awful way to put it.
But you could delay the bond.
I did look at our plans for the bond.
Without the parking lot, we then don't have the whatever revenue is drawn in from the project. So theoretically, when it comes time to do the library, we have to do it.
Cool against which to justify that bond. I hear that. I'm just figuring away somebody else might frame it. Mm-hmm. According to these numbers, I don't understand the school district and revitalization district taxes.
It's about $481,000. You don't. I discussed with Will today, and you were flying by the time I spoke with him. He has some old tax numbers, and there's. I redid the tax numbers. I calculated in order to cover this, what would we get in the revenues on the lot? The revenue that they have, and I discussed this with the manager, more than doubling what we're currently earning is just, I don't believe it. I just don't believe
it. What do you think? Say we stay even in the lot.
We could do better than even. I mean, I would be willing to lay money that we can do better than we're doing. But I can't see. First of all, I looked at his numbers, and he didn't consider the possibility that we're a seasonal business. School's out basically 4 months of the year. So I went back to look at the pattern of seasonality. I did that just when I haven't had time to write it up. When I ran through your numbers and Will's, and I dropped it back down to the $1.30, and actually we're currently charging only $1 on parking in the lot, not $1.30 at the lot. But even at the $1.30, I can get us up to a max of maybe $430. I just took your number and back down. That strikes me as an absolute. That would be a big increase in the amount of parking going on there.
I could not figure out the
improvement.
You can't.
I couldn't see how we went from 268 to 680.
You've got to be smoking something.
Okay.
Good. I mean, I can't find any way to figure it out.
Unless he says that the retail is going to drive more short-term parking at at the higher rate that I come in for 30 minutes or an hour.
And I would agree with that, but I wouldn't expect it to more than double the total amount. I just
think you're saying is the difference is about $170,000, $160,000.
In terms of what we are now versus what we could be.
Right. So that doesn't support very much debt.
Yeah.
What about the improvement?
But it has to, in order to support the debt, the way that I ran it through was very similar to what you did. I brought the revenues down from parking because the number was unreal. And it might be realistic in 10 years, but our problem is not in 10 years. In 10 years, we'll be just fine. The problem's in the short term. So I reduced that down. I looked at the property value, counted tax revenue from the general fund, the transportation fund, and the downtown service district, which means we're going to have to find a way to make sure that that really does all apply to that, because those aren't fungible dollars. Then I looked at the sales tax. We were using a $10 million number. We get 2.5% in terms of local tax at the county, and that's of which we get about a quarter. So we picked up another $60,000. And I ran it against the provision for if we did this lease thing or if we went ahead and borrowed for it. If we borrow for it, in the first year out, we've got a shortfall of approximately $180,000 to $200,000.
Is that on 20-year cost or 30
years? Yes, 20 years.
Does your policy allow you to do 30-year?
We may have to look at the policy and whatever we do. Now, in terms of the LTC, we could at least go to 25, I would guess.
Yeah.
They're not particularly generous about 30. You'd have to fight for that.
I've got one coming in at 30.
Do you really? Okay.
We've got to go 30 or something.
That's a shortfall, but what was the combined, parking, tax?
But the total amount of revenue that we get from all of that? For 55, I could do this on a calculator for you. It's over $500,000.
All the revenues from the parking and the taxes and everything is about $500,000.
Excuse me, I did the addition for myself. $542,417 based on a...
Okay. Last time we were talking about $300,000 as existing revenue from the parking.
But what I went back and thought about, there were two things that I had not thought about before, and I thought about them, and sadly they're big numbers. One is we need to replace the revenue that we're already earning within parking, and two, we're giving them spaces over in Wallace, 55 of them, and I used the revenue per space per day of $559, which is our average revenue per day for that, and that's more revenue that's disappeared if you don't think you have those 55 spaces available.
What are those 50,000
for?
Okay,
this is the sheet that I work from.
From a pure dollar standpoint, though, if we go with their way of doing it, we still have the same shortfall because we're reaching those scores of $500,000.
But it came by a lot of money. Casey said that aside from parking, he said 800,000. You said aside from the parking revenue, $500,000.
I used $75,665.114 on the tax value of the property, the taxable retail value of the property. If it's some other number.
Residential.
Does the $75,000 include everything? If that's wrong, then my number's wrong.
Okay, I'm just looking at the sheet right now, and
you mean 75 million, Ken?
Yeah, excuse me, 75 million, 665,114. These numbers keep changing, but that was the number I...
75, 665, yeah.
Okay, yes, that's what I have.
Yeah.
Where is the
let me talk you through this. And first of all, Nan, please apologize for under estimate 3, there's no I in it, so it really is a rough estimate. Five alternatives. First, I put through what we're currently doing. Basically, we're bringing in, if the Lot 5 is open all this year, we would bring in approximately $300,000 cost related to, everyone's used about $30,000, and we can discuss whether that's right or wrong. Part of it has to do with if you're underground parking, are there additional utilities, lighting, security issues? We would discuss that, but even if I'm off by 50%, it's not material for the population. So then I went down to Ramis, various assumptions that we had, and I jaded them, and some were RAN and some were prepared by us three. The first was the RAN estimate of the $690,000 on the revenue for this project. I don't believe that's true, but I'm running the numbers through anyhow. The next was the estimate that Spree did, and what they basically did was work backwards to what it would take to cover the costs. And they're saying it would take revenue of $742,000. So they worked backwards into their number. In order to get their number, they had to raise the parking fees to $2.25 an hour to produce that revenue number. I think parking is sufficiently elastic that if we charge that much, we'd have a decrease in the number of people parking. I don't believe that's a realistic number. What I did was to take Spree's number in this third column and took it back down to $1.30. We're currently at $1, so note that this is a bigger number than we're using. We came up with a maximum revenue of $429,000. I actually believe reality may be somewhat smaller than that, but I'm willing to go for a best case here. So I would call that best case, not average case, but best case. I left the $30,000 as the expense and came up with the next line down, which could be revenues after expenditures under each of these assumptions. Then I looked at what it would cost to replace the revenues for Lot 5 that we're currently earning and the revenues for the Wallace deck for the 55 spaces that we're using and came up with available revenues after that. So that's below that next line, that additional revenue using the various assumptions. The next section says...
So basically net zero.
Yes.
So the parking is off the table as far as revenues are concerned.
I think it is. Okay. If you're concerned about replacement revenues, which is my apologies to Bill, that's what I had not considered when we looked at it last time, that we have a revenue stream, we're using it for something that's going to disappear as we know it, if we're now directing it towards
how long will it disappear for?
The revenue stream?
Oh, in that you are going to use the new revenue stream to service this.
Yes.
So you've lost that.
Correct. Okay. That's exactly
the wrong.
Okay, so then I looked at the additional property tax revenue, and I used the base, and I just ran it through as our current property tax rates. Now, obviously, over time, our tax rates may change, and I would expect the property value to increase. It's reevaluated every 4 years. It's going to go up. But it's not going to go up right at the beginning, which is when we need the additional money. Then the assumption I made on sales tax, and this could be right, wrong, or indifferent, but I assumed, as we had assumed in a previous reckoning, $10 million in additional retail sales. Of that, the town is at 2.5% local tax stuff, and the county only share, and the portion that actually comes to the town is approximately 25% of that, and that's right about the $62,500. So then that brings you down to a new available revenues line. And then I looked at two alternatives. Alternative one is the lease payment. And as you see, we're fine on the two estimates that I think are too high, reasonably close on the last estimate. And then the alternative two is if we borrowed at 5%, and I'm assuming away issuance costs that over 20 years it's not going to be a material amount. And we wind up in the beginning year 182. Now, if you that's allowing for a 20-year borrowing as opposed to 25 to 30, which would string it out and would bring the cash flow issues down in the first year. It would cost you more over the life, and you have to decide what the benefit of that was. Under 20 years, if we did it this way, the way that the debt is set up with the fixed principal, the cost of the borrowing drops approximately $18,000 per year. So, in a period of time, that number is going to go down. You're going to assume that the property tax rates, even if they follow the normal path of increasing approximately 20% in 4 years, is going to go up. So things look better as you go out. Our problem, both with borrowing and the total amount we can borrow and the cash flow and everything, is just that.
You get that one the debt.
We just backloaded a little bit of the cost relative to the TOC, and that's part of why we're having a little anxiety right now about being able to borrow. But you have to decide what do we want to do now, how much we're going to pay for it, what do you want to do for the choice set in terms of borrowing projects that you don't yet know about, you know, a sample 5 years down the road, what do they want to do?
We're past that.
I mean, we had a principle of replacing 150 spots, and, you know, or 173 spots.
Well, anyway, that also goes to the price you can charge. So if there is a lot of demand, we would just raise the price.
Right.
There's no problem with that. Right. If the demand exceeds the supply, you raise the price.
What do you charge at Wallace, a dollar?
We're $1.30 at Wallace, and we're $1 at the pay station, which is currently lot 5 and 3, that end of town.
So, let me ask you, I was understanding that the revenue from lot 5 currently is not required for anything except the rural parking lot.
That's not quite true. I looked back to see what our fund balance was growing by in the parking, and we're growing at approximately $50,000 a year. So that would mean some of it is just staying even. You could say that 50 of it is going towards.
So it's not required for the debt service.
It is not required for the debt service. There are other operating costs associated, but not for the debt service. No.
Okay, your assumption on the 55 spaces,
mm-hmm.
Is the wall set 100% leased every day? Subscribe?
In terms of at some point during the day do we use all the spaces, the answer is no, we don't on all days, but on Sundays do we use all the spaces we do.
Well, that's an average.
Well, that's an absolute average. That's not the case in the summer winter.
Are we assuming that we're just giving the spots?
That's my assumption, that they would be healthy, these people to use 24 hours a day.
Well, I think they have to leave them.
Do we receive the revenue from the lease?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a transaction between us and them.
How did you get along the same line? There's only 20, aren't there just 20 affordable housing units?
Yeah.
I thought the number of spaces we were supposed to be 55.
And affordable housing, I surely wouldn't want to one car on that. I wouldn't want them to have
the 55 came when the Wallace Tech units were being built.
So it's 20.
Okay. And there's revenue associated with it.
Well, I'm not sure you're going to be able to charge.
I really don't.
Charge something. How much cost something to run? You don't just get to have a free space. The people who are maybe living in the
I'm saying that with an affordable unit, in order to maintain its affordability, it's hard to charge for the parking space.
$35?
Yeah, maybe $35.
Yeah, normal
amount. Yeah, some amount. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
I'm going to hire. That's not affordable to me.
Yeah. Well, what do people get to get for parking in Charlotte per hour? Do you have any idea?
No. Well, in a big lot of town, it's between $2 and $5 an hour. That's because they don't want you in there.
Yeah.
So, the officers are taking them all and squeeze everything up. It's a big number.
So that would bring you what? If we only needed 20 instead of 55, then they brought in $100 a month.
I make it 50.
You're going to change pricing for affordable housing.
Well, the standard note, I mean, it's 60% of 112.
Right, not counting the revenue that Glenn so graciously.
Well, that doesn't make a difference. What is that?
60 grand?
Yeah,
60.
So that pulls the whole thing down to 120.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the replacement revenue, I mean, the revenues from parking, we put some in reserve, but the balance of it goes into the general fund.
No.
Isn't there an annual transfer into the general fund?
We have two parking funds. We have the on-street and the off-street.
Right.
The excess revenue from on-street parking and fines goes into the general fund. There's a separate fund for off-street parking, the lots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we were just discussing. The fund balance has increased maybe $50,000 a year in recent years. So if you wanted to subtract an extra 50 from the amount you would need, assuming that you'd increase that much, you could pull out the 50, get, use another 50 towards that. Beyond that, they're holding steady. Right. So that's not a choice you made. The other thing I would point out that I have in the notes is that there is going to be lost revenue from parking during the period of construction. And we had originally agreed to consider paying for a section of affordable housing and take from this fund, and it seems to me one just offsets the other. So I've noted it, but that part I lost.
Okay. So I'll be all for it. From a pure dollars and cents standpoint, you're going to get hit whether you do the lease with land or the use cost.
That's right.
And so then that's where it gets to me, the business decision about, to me, it's another running to do cost.
Yeah.
You feel like you can do that from the standpoint of policy and your rate.
I agree.
And then you also need to look at what the lease could do to your rating, but that's going to be funny. I don't think you'll get a good answer on that.
Okay, will our bond rating be affected when or if we change our policy, or would it be affected when we actually engage in the issuance of cost?
I could bring this, I probably should have, the sheet that shows how we are evaluated with our peers and with other AAA bond rated folks. You can see all the ratios that they use in terms of the mathematics of the calculation as opposed to the touchy feely portion of it. And I assure you there are both portions to it. Would this transaction alone be enough to affect our bond rating? I can't tell you for certain. We've got part of the other piece of it that is really significant is what we're doing on fund balance. Part of the reason that we got the increase is our fund balance is really good right now. Now, I know we've got various projects and various reasons why it would be reasonable to spend some of that money for other purposes. They're concerned. They just want to make sure that they get their money back when they're through.
So right. When do they make the decision? They look at
not when you change the policy. Okay. Not when you change the policy.
So it's more likely that it would be 3 years or whenever the project has finished when we actually issue the cost before our bond rating would be affected if it was.
So his original deal was before you get the building permit.
Correct.
But you can't issue the cost before the building permit's issued.
I thought it was one of those people that
wanted to... No, it said building permit. That was one of the things we wanted to push back on. We wanted a longer option.
But we could commit today that we're going to buy them. And when you finish building those parking spaces, we're going to give you a check for a max of $7 million, but you're not going to issue the cops until much, much later in the process.
Right.
So, right. You think if you could make the commitment today, which is what he meant.
Right.
He wants to know that he's going to get a takeout. He's going to have to borrow the construction money. He wants to know he's going to get a takeout on that down the road, and you can make that commitment today.
Well, we didn't want to pay him when he got a building
permit.
If we say, yes, we're going to buy these the minutes you get them finished, then that would seem to support what Kay is saying about the process by which these are built, in terms of the bidding aspect.
I'm not worried about that.
Well, no, but the reality of that is, I mean, that becomes something, that means a fixed numbers development, just that portion of the project, and a fixed more, and then what John's talking about matters.
I'm not a bond counsel, and I do know that they're local legislation, but I've done a number of deals, a bunch of deals, where we're buying something that somebody else is building for us, and we've not had to do that. Okay. In Charlotte, including just recently the museum, which is 151 million.
Okay.
So maybe we have a local...
You might.